Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ailey Packham and we are getting our hazmat suits ready in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well, the idea to move our recording schedule around with the hope of imparting some good news didn't really go according to plan. And in truth, I think we're all a little bit flat on Planet Albion this week after our penalty shootout heartbreak against Forest deprived us of a trip to Wembley and then Wednesday night's home defeat to Aston Villa. But there is no time to lick our wounds, though, with a trip to arch-rivals Crystal Palace to come on Saturday and a chance to avenge our defeat to them earlier in the season. There was some good news this week, though, with the club announcing the signing of young Sunderland starlet Tom Watson, who will link up with us in the summer. And also, there was a big birthday this week. Yes, the Albion Roar blew out the candles on our 18th birthday cake. We drank all the beer in the tap. We necked all the champagne and we finished off all of the tuaca. In other words, happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, Alan Wares.
Happy birthday, Adrian Packham, even though actually we are still sort of like spotty youths because we're only 15 years in. But no, it's a great legacy that we took over from Johnny and Richie when they set it up. And in the upstairs offices the upstairs studios at North Street, above what was then Juice, what was then a radio station. yeah, it's there is one thing I do want to say here, and it's a little bit soapboxy, but you know how this is the Albion Roar. Is that certainly from when we started out doing what we're doing, and let's say whether it's 15 years ago or 18 years ago, to where we are now, a lot of things have changed, and not necessarily with Reverb. It's still got the same keen sort of volunteer radio presenters and producers, and it's still, you know, we still get our funding by donations, grants, and sponsorship. But I'm just sort of more talking about the parlous state of local radio. Certainly the last 5 or 6 years or so, you know, the BBC has tried to slim down and cut back and amalgamate with its local radio. And then we've had commercial radio that is basically, you know, we've lost Juice, we've lost Southern, we lost Surf, whatever it was. And this is where the community radio stations and what's left of the BBC local radio stations step up. I believe, and it's not about the Albion Roar, it's not about us, but I believe that, you know, there are certain people who must still fly the flag for local radio. Mm. And I'd still say the same for local TV and local press. But here we are sort of flying it for local radio. Whether we're at that last sort of stand, that last bastion, there might be some people who appreciate just sort of like a generic radio station and more power to their elbow. But we like to think that we're offering a service. In this instance, we're talking about football, but there's so many things about this brilliant city that we could talk about. And I think that a community radio station has a place in a vibrant, progressive city. And I really hope that we can carry on for the next 18 years at least.
Well, I was going to say, I'm also wearing a party hat is Andy Bass, but he's taking it off now after that.
It's better than singing happy birthday, isn't it?
Well, it's true. There will be more on that a little bit later. And obviously, it's been a tough week, Andy, and we're just trying to find some positives to talk about, really.
Yeah, well, no denying it. It's a disappointing week. A lot of hope and optimism at the beginning of the week. Great things in prospect and none of them have come to pass, and we've lost Jorginho and Webster possibly for the season. So just to kick even more sand in our face. But but the positives are, certainly from last night, Bournemouth losing was a big deal. Fulham obviously losing this week was a decent deal as well. So like in terms of like league position, we didn't suffer that much. In terms of points, we are 3 points behind Newcastle in fifth, and only 2 points behind Chelsea in sixth. So I can't believe it. I actually probably want Spurs to win tonight as we're recording this on Thursday.
Can you just repeat that? Because I want to make sure I'm sitting down and strapped in before you repeat that.
Yeah, I probably want Spurs to win tonight because that would help us
Well, it's
out and
not so
keep
much you
Chelsea.
want Spurs to win, you just want Chelsea to lose, because
I
we
do
all
want Chelsea
do.
to lose, and
That is
that
the
is the un
default
that is
setting.
the unfortunate side effect of it. But
Yeah, context is everything.
yeah, so yeah, still a lot to play for. Last night was particularly deflating. It kind of went the way I expected it to, given how hard we worked on Saturday. Considering we had like 10 minutes of injury time, we ended up playing over 130 minutes on Saturday, and then we lost, predictably lost on penalties. I had no
Yeah.
confidence that we were going to win the shootout. I think
Well.
Forest are much better at it than us, and so it proved. But you know, I another positive. I thought until Rashford scored, I thought we were excellent
Okay.
last
Well,
night.
we're going to come on to the Villa game in a little bit, but let's just get Forest out of the way first.
Yeah, let's do it.
And you know, I mean, it was disappointing. We all hoped and dreamed of getting to Wembley, but I mean, let's face it, the script was already written. We just wanted to avoid Palace at all costs. So we just the fact that they played and won earlier in the day, we knew Jack knew what he was doing when he stood up to take that penalty. He was just like, no.
Can
Darren
I just
Balkan's retiring. He doesn't want to go have Palace at Wembley. That would be horrible for him.
Say to the Reverb lawyers, if anyone from the Albion is listening, AD was joking. He was
I am joking.
joking.
I know. I was absolutely gutted, but it was. But
This
you know, look, Forest came with a game plan, and it worked. It was a
I'm
very, very different game to the one at the City Ground, obviously.
Not
And
so
they.
sure about that, you know, AD, because what I saw was, I mean, obviously, what we're still having to remember is that Forest are in third place. It looks like they're going to finish in third place. They're having a season way above everyone else's expectations, probably their own as well. And they haven't taken their foot off anyone's throat lately. I mean, maybe it shows that that 5-0 defeat that they had just before they stuck seven past us was a sort of a one-off result. Yes, they didn't have a brilliant run after they beat us, but they're still there or thereabouts. They're clearly not rubbish. They're a very good side. And I think if you were to say it was either Arsenal or Liverpool or Manchester City, in other words, the three clubs around them, you'd have said, actually, you know, it would have been a battling performance. I think we have to forget the fact it was Nottingham Forest and actually the fact it was a very, very good side. Secondly, we played a lot better than we did up there, but then, having said that, we kind of couldn't have done much worse. And when you say came with a game plan, their game plan was to beat us because they were very, very capable of doing so. And I just saw it as two teams, two very good teams, and let's face it, at that time, the form teams who just cancelled each other out. And therefore, from a neutral's point of view, it was a dire dirge. From our point of view, we were pooping pants. With not knowing what was going to happen. And I just saw two teams that cancelled each other out. They had chances, sniffs, half chances. I think the only thing that was really not 50-50 was the behaviour of the referee.
Yeah, Andy. Well, as most of you know, I sit next to Andy, and
Andy sits next to you, and ne'er the twain shall meet.
it is, you know, sometimes Andy will be express an opinion or two about the officiating at such games, and
Is that in kind of like ancient Anglo-Saxon turned up to 11?
No, because he's very, very polite, shy, retiring, and you know, there are elderly people around us, and you know, they
Including
think,
him.
yes, indeed. But I mean, the fact, I mean, that the ref on Saturday was ever so slightly over officious, Andy. I mean, so I think the word rhymed with hat.
I mean, he was the thing about oh, that was Peter Banks, wasn't it? I think it was just really inconsistent, and like he would give things against us, but he wouldn't give them against Forest for the same offence. They'd do stupid things like let them take 20 yards, nick 20 yards on a throw in, and then call Hinch up for like taking two steps on a throw in, and it was lots of minor things that were just really irritating. But I would agree with Al. I think for the first 90 minutes, I think it was too even the match sides that were kind of canceling each other out a little bit. But I thought in the extra time, we actually played with a lot more, with a lot more intensity and urgency. And I'm not sure we fancied ourselves in a penalty shootout, which is why we upped our power. I just wish we'd played like that during the actual match, because that was a really good effort at the end of the 90 minutes. And I think, again, testament to how Fabian prepares this team to go the distance. And we had a number of chances, and unfortunately Gomez wasn't able to, came up against the save of the game
Yeah.
through Sales, which
Oh, that
was
was a
just
terrific header as well.
a
That was
great
going
header. It was a
right where the
great
spiders
header, and it
live.
was a terrific save. It was probably the one true moment of quality in the match from both sides. But we had our chances. We had our little shots past the post, a couple of shots that were a bit easier to first Sales to save. But we certainly we you know we gave it a go. I don't really have that many complaints about the outcome of that game. To be honest, I don't really have too much of a problem with the outcome of either game this week. It just wasn't our day.
No.
It was just a very big disappointment, and you were left feeling
Yeah.
flat at the end of it.
Well, I mean, I've just watched the highlights again
You silly boy.
of the. Well, I did it so you didn't have to, Al.
Well, I've already done it as well, don't worry.
But I mean, there were some other key moments in it. I mean, I particularly like watching it back again today. I particularly enjoyed the bit when Belaba shot that like cannon wide, absolutely destroyed a camera behind the
Three
goal.
and a half grand, apparently. Serves him right. Whoever it is.
Absolutely
Because I think the
clattered
Argus
it.
posted a picture of the bloke, sort of like with the obviously the owner of it, with one part in his hand, and I think the lens that had broken off, or the zoom that had broken off
And a
in the
packet
other
of super
hand.
glue in his mouth.
Yeah, probably. And obviously, with these things, they're not going to, it's not going to be a sort of like a 20 quid box brownie. They're going to
No.
have some proper kit. And yes, I mean, it was a hell of a shot. It was a decent shot for someone who generally can't shoot. But yeah, as to picking out that camera, it was an absolute howitzer.
Yeah.
But
But I
can
mean
I?
there was you say moments of quality. There was one moment of quality which was unfortunately just like a whizzed over the bar, but like Jorginho's swiveling shot was quite delightful. The chance that Gomez had an extra time, obviously the header, but there was the one that fell to him just before that where he just couldn't get his feet in the right place.
Yeah, that was annoying.
But it was frustrating. It was frustrating. And actually, I mean, I don't. I mean, Diego was penalty was the crucial one that we missed. I mean, but I mean that stayed hit. And I'm surprised that Matt Sells' hand is in place still
Well,
after
this
that,
is it.
because
I mean, he larruped it so hard, it's actually difficult to call it a save. I mean, he did stop it going in, but let's face it, it hit him. I'm not convinced that the keeper knew a great deal about it. I mean, with Hinshelwood's one, it was a little bit powder puff, but Gomez's one would have broken the net if it had got
Yeah,
that far.
and so look, I mean, it's disappointing. It's disappointing,
The
but
thing is, you
positives. We
haven't.
avoid having to play Palace at Wembley, which is
Well, to be fair, haven't Forest got Man City?
Forest have got Man City, but yeah, we'd beat Man City. We'd beat them.
Yeah,
We
I
don't. We
know,
got. We've
but
done it all
then.
right really this season, and should have done it
But then,
twice.
would you trust Villa to get past Palace? Because then, I mean, it's just one of those sort of quirks of fate that actually we've in the league, we're playing all, well, not in the league, but we've just recently playing all four semi-finalists in a row, which isn't fair. But no, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's with that cup match, it is one of those things. It's not like, for instance, I think the last time we won a penalty shootout, which was up at Millwall, I could be wrong, someone correct me, but which was up at Millwall. Let's face it, that was a game where the Millwall fans are going to go home really disappointed on account of the fact that, they were 2-0 up. We took it to
Extra time.
extra time. Sonny March is ridiculously overhit. And I love the footage of Chris Hughton and the entire bench, as soon as March has hit it, they can see he's got too much on it, and they throw their hands up and exasperated. And then thankfully the keeper makes a dropsy and it falls in. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
But I think, correct me, AD, is that the last time we won a penalty shootout?
That was the first penalty shootout we've had at the Amex.
Yes, that's an
No, it
interesting one, isn't
wasn't,
it?
because I believe that there was one at Newport,
Was that
which
since?
Jason still ensured that we didn't
So that was
win
after
normal time,
2017, was
and then
it?
he went and saved four penalties.
Oh, sorry, after 2019. So,
I think that would have been
okay.
before that. I think that
Arsenal
was
on the
after
post.
that.
Well, let's ask our listener, see if he can remember.
But
But yes, it was. But the other thing about it is, local hero misses penalty again. If it's not Solly March, it's a bit like Stuart Pearce handing the mantle on to Gareth Southgate, isn't it?
yeah, well, I mean, I
But no, we're
Bart
never going
Bart
to
should,
criticise
I
him.
mean, Bart, I think Bart should have saved two of the penalties anyway. I think he was, it was like particularly the last one.
No, I'm going to say the Forest ones were that good. I mean, if it means they
Oh, the
practice
last
and we
one wasn't. It
haven't.
was awful. He had it. Basically, Matt Sells, he defines the word strong hands with the way that he kept that Gomez one out. If Bart had equally a strong hand, he would have kept that last one out.
No, I'm not
No, I'm
going there
not
because
sure.
no, I'm
Yeah. I
not
don't
going with
think he
that.
could reach it. That one was really. There was one, the one before that. I thought he had a good chance to save it, but I think he just kind of went over it. But the last one was just in the corner. The Forest penalties were just really good.
Well, even the one they missed, you could see he was going for the top half of the goal, wasn't he?
I always felt that we needed them to miss the target for us to have a chance, and
Yeah.
it's a shame that when they actually did do that, we
Okay.
couldn't take advantage. But hey ho, it's
It's what it is.
it is
Well, let's
what it
face it,
is.
our penalties, the ones that were tucked away quite nicely
Yeah, Dunk
with
takes a good penalty.
Dunk. Well, we knew that. I mean, this is actually a conversation I was having with Andy at the game last night. It's about goalkeepers preparing. And one thing, now, admittedly, we're talking about our main goalkeeper, main penalty taker here, but Pedro does not necessarily have a particular favoured side that a goalkeeper can suss out. Okay, I know this penalty taker. He normally goes that side. He doesn't because he'll go either side. And, let's face it, the crowd won't know. The keeper won't necessarily know. Only Pedro knows. And he's obviously, as a sort of professional penalty taker, will know what
Yeah.
he's going to do. And that's going to be down to him and him alone.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
Okay. But
Dunk
I mean,
does it just by belting it.
yeah. But Andy, actually, I mean, this is something we were talking about last night, actually, wasn't it? And again, we were talking about this on Saturday, was the fact that okay, João Pedro is, I mean, Fabian talks about leaders quite often, and we saw the leadership qualities of João Pedro on the pitch during that penalty shootout, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought Pedro, superb over both games. Really put a shift in all over the pitch, and I thought, when Jack missed his penalty, he was the first one there to commiserate, and
And support.
I just really thought he did take on a leadership role, and I think, for a, I don't know, I don't know what how people really feel about João Pedro, where they feel he's a bit of a sort of glamour player or something like that. But I think there's a bit more heart to him than just sort of like,
You can see he cares.
rather than like the sort of high profile forward player, which is like, kind of a glamour position. But there's a bit more grit, determination, and real heart for and. He relates to his teammates. And I think that's something, I think that's something that the club look for when they hire players. And it's, if you're not that sort of player, you don't hang around here too long.
Yeah.
But I thought that was great from Pedro. I think he's run himself into the ground.
Yeah,
But
he
as
did.
a player,
He did the same with Gomez. It was like
yeah, he
it
did.
was first out there, and
Remind me, who scored the
consoling him.
second penalty? That was Gruder, wasn't it?
Gruda just rolled it in. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was the point. If let's put it this way, he'd have looked stupid if the keeper had guessed the right way. But also, having said that, irrespective of the fact that, yes, he scored a penalty, the best penalties are those that go in. Can I just say a quick word about Gruyter? Certainly over the last two games is how much he has improved. He seemed to be a little bit of a headless chicken, not 100% sure. I'm not even 100% sure that his favoured place should be out wide. I do like the fact that in the last couple of games, he hasn't necessarily just played wide. He's been kind of sort of, I don't know, the Pascal Gross replacement, I suppose. Not he's not there in terms of quality, but the role that the Gross played when he was sort of more playing forward. And he is finally sort of having started the season as a little bit of a sick note, getting into the swing of things. And I think that there is actually plenty more to come from him. You know, it's all about the decision making at the right time. But I do like his work rate. I like him getting into it. I like the way he can actually keep the ball moving. I thought that when he came on against Forest, he added a little bit of vitality and freshness. And I think where Andy was talking about how we were probably a little bit more energetic in the extra time, and I think a lot of that was down to him. And I think he brought something to the table, and hopefully there's plenty more from him to come. I mean, are you feeling that, Andy?
Absolutely, 100% agree, Al.
Oh,
Spot on, mate. So I won't waste the listeners' time by repeating exactly what you said because I agree
okay.
with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, we need somebody like that at this moment in time, though, Andy, don't we? Because one of the other downsides of Saturday was obviously losing, which is the main thing. But losing Jorginho and actually Adam Webster as well, that was massive for us.
Yeah, and you know, two players that have been absolutely key for us in this good run. I mean, I know we're all disappointed at the moment, but we've actually had a pretty good couple of months since we, you know, since the turn of the year, we've been pretty good apart from one absolutely lousy game. And they've been key. I think, you know, Ruta got off to a relatively slow start this season. Like all of our new players, I think, you know, I rarely expect anything about our new players in the first sort of three or four months, because adjusting to the Premier League is just like a massive culture shock. Even if you come from the Championship, even if you've been playing in England in the Championship, if you're coming from any European or South American or Far East league, is the jump is going to be even more. I think you've seen that with Gruyter's improvement as well. I think, you know, he said in interviews, you know, basically all the new players have just said, flipping it, I knew it was going to be hard, but I didn't think it was going to be this hard. I better get to flipping work. And yeah, absolute major blow. And I think it's very bizarre because, like, you know, Webster's been a figure of much derision over, you know, and I think unfairly over the last couple of seasons. But since he's come back into the side and partnered JP, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's been solid in his defensive duties, but he's exemplary in his bringing the ball out duties as well. And you know, that's a real blow. It's not a knock on Dunk. There's obviously, you know, Lewis can come back in, but to be honest, I think, you know, Webster's been playing better than Dunk this season and will probably be the first choice, all things being equal. And it's a blow to lose two people in such key positions.
Yeah,
I
I mean,
think so.
thankfully, we the fact that Dunk's come back. I mean, let this. I mean, those who just like to be cynical, I'm going to actually sort of see if I can head that cynicism off at the pass. Is that, oh, under Webster we didn't lose, et cetera, et cetera. Now Dunk's back. Excuse me, we conceded three goals. You know, Dunk's finished, et cetera. So no. It doesn't work like that. I mean, I think for two of the goals, I don't think Dunk was even on the pitch. So it's. Yeah, there's you know, there's was it lies, damn lies, statistics,
And
stats, and
lies.
other whatever you want to call it. They don't tell the whole story. You're right, Webster has been probably playing the best he has played since he joined us. Hardly put a foot wrong. Having said that, I think playing alongside JP makes anyone look good, and I'm going to go back all the way back to August with my pre-season prediction of JP being player of the season. Now, it's
He
not
might
to
get
say
it.
he will be, but
He might. He's going to get yours. He's not going to win it. He ain't gonna win it. I'll tell you now, he's not gonna win it.
Who is?
A player that's just gone out for the rest of the season, probably.
Well, Webster or
No.
Rutter.
Yeah.
No, can't, I can't say. If anyone's going to, I think the main challenger will be Belieber. Personally, I think it will be Belieber followed by Van Hecker. But for me, Van Hecker really, really deserves it. But that's another matter that we can sort of harangue ourselves over in a month's time. But
It'll
having said
be
that, my point
Georgie.
is that for my pre-season prediction, is anyone going to say Van Hecker's had a poor season?
No,
No, he's been
absolutely not.
brilliant.
No. I can tell you that my pre-season prediction will not be winning player of
Who
this
is it?
season, and I will tell you why in the second half. But first, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. This show is brought to you in association with the brilliant Flowers Unlimited. Al, where can you get some flowers and other nice things from?
From the butt of Ermentrude's hole. Provided she's eaten them and chewed them through her four stomachs first. Alternatively, just go to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. They sell all sorts of celebratory things. Flowers are what the main thing that you want to send for a celebration or other purposes. They do chocolate, they do champagne, they do all the things that actually tell one person to another that they love them or that they're really sorry. Or all points in between. So yes, David Costa, thank you very much indeed for sponsoring us. You can go to the website flowersbrighton.co.uk, or just phone up, ask for the flowers and bouquets that you want, and if you tell them you're an Albion season ticket holder, you will of course get 20% off, and just let them know that we sent you. So yeah, Flowers Unlimited, 175 177 Portland Road, Hove. Go there for all your flowers, not the park.
Okay, and coming up next Saturday, Al, is the Reverbathon. This is the annual fundraiser for Radio Reverb. Myself and Al will be in a different spot, actually. We're going to be broadcasting live from the open market, and we have a very special guest. We have
Go on, you.
Fatboy
We
Slim.
have Fatboy Slim. What are you doing with here?
We've
What are
got
you doing with here?
Norman.
What are you doing with your Fatboy Slim?
Yeah, he's getting out a bit early to come and join us in the studio. We're on air live at 10 o'clock. Now we are looking for sponsors for that show. So if you have a company, a business, or you just want to support Radio Reverb, get in contact with us at thealbionraw@yahoo.co.uk. We've already got a couple of sponsors in this, but
We have one
basically.
already with very very kind thanks to Ian Hart Funeral Services. Funeral director has kindly said he's going to be one of the sponsors of the show. I'm also looking for a sponsor of the show for because the following day I'm going to be doing an hour of Move On Up, which is my show that I have also on Reverb, playing an hour of soul and more soul. But good 60s, 70s, northern, with a bit of Motown, Stax. For all those who know their soul, will know what I'm on about. So I'm looking for a sponsor for that as well. I'll probably be doing that show about 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, maybe even closing the Reverbathon out, and that will be at the Hope and Ruin in Queen's Road. And again, come by, have a pint or two, and maybe even a request if you're feeling that way inclined. So yeah, the
I'd like some
Reverbathon.
fish, please.
You'd like some fish? What, Marillion?
No, some sole.
Not bad. Not bad.
Actually, I'd rather have Marillion, to be honest, but
Yeah,
as would Andy.
we don't do rock. If you're going to do a fish gag, we don't do rock.
rock and chips. That's the old
That was a Del Boy.
Only Fools and Horses spin-off,
Yeah,
wasn't
it
it?
was, yeah.
Okay, well, let's get this out of the way then. Okay, Aston Villa came to the Amex and they went home with all 3 points. Jorginho and Webb still were obviously ruled out for this, possibly for the season. Dunk returned. Gruda was in for Georgie, and also Gomez was in for Belabor and Adingra for Minter. I mean, Andy, these most of those changes were because the players are just flipping knackered after a long game on Saturday and flying in from all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, this was my concern. For what it's worth, I think that's still a pretty good lineup. I was quite excited about it, as particularly with Gomez starting. But my fears before this game were that we were going to be a bit tired, simply because of the international break, the draining, not only physically but mentally draining defeat against Nottingham Forest. I thought the changes all made sense. Obviously, we've got a big game on Saturday, and you've got to balance the time, the minutes for certain players. So yeah, I was quite happy with the team. And to be honest, I thought in the first half and prior to Rashford opening the scoring, I thought they were excellent. I thought they were
We
really good.
played really well. We
Yeah.
played really. It's just, oh God, it's just momentary lapses, three of
Well,
them.
yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? The 3-0 looks like a heinous sort of heavy defeat. I mean, again, lies, lies, and damn statistics is that, a 3-0 looks like a we've won games 3-0 and thoroughly bossed it. And of course it doesn't work that way. Could you say Villa deserve to win 3-0? Well, they stuck the ball in the net three times. So of course the answer is yes. Having said that, let's look at the what do you call it? The rhinoceros up the tree or whatever it is you call it.
The elephant in the room
Yes, and quite a small broom
is
cupboard at
someone not
that.
well?
VAR, Villar, that's what it stands for. Andy, if you can actually describe how you feel about our disallowed goal without getting Radio Reverb closed down, go.
Well, I'm fuming about it. I mean, I've kind of avoided like the sort of online reactions to this game because some of them are quite different to my interpretation of events. But when the message went up from Stockley Park on the screen, and they said that Karim Mutoma deliberately played the ball with his arm, I was just utterly incensed. I mean, the ball hit his arm, and it
But
goes down.
you felt slightly differently, sort of live without having seen it,
To
that yes, it hit his
be
arm.
honest, yeah. I mean, at the time, you could see the ball had hit his arm, so you thought like in real time. So I kind of thought they would pull it up for handball, to be perfectly honest.
We both did at the time, didn't we?
Yeah, but I understand that the whole shirt line thing might be different now to when the last time I looked it up after the last time. Atwell
You
messed
called
up
him
one
up
of our
for
games
handball, yeah.
because I had actually looked at the IFAB
It was changed a
room,
good 2 or 3 years ago.
and but he didn't deliberately play the ball with his arm. The ball hit him, bounced off him, and sort of went onto the floor. Martinez muffed the save, and the dinker puts in. Should have been a goal then.
I'm going to rewind here back to the Chelsea FA Cup game because live I thought that was handball as well, and we both thought this was at the time last night as well. But having seen it
Is that
again,
Lamptey you're talking about?
no, this was Mitoma, the Mitoma goal against Chelsea in the FA Cup
Ah, of
against
course, yes.
where it basically it struck him on the shoulder, and it looked from certain angles like it was that was handball, but the
What, as
ball
in
the
lower
goal
down
the.
his arm than his shoulder, you mean?
Yeah, and but
Okay.
and the goal got given. I mean, having seen it again, there's not an awful lot of difference between the two.
No.
Other thing is, where's he supposed to put his arm?
Yeah, exactly. I mean the ball just hits him. I mean,
The other thing is,
not everybody agrees with me on that particular point. So.
I mean, it did catch his arm, but I don't think he had any control over where the ball was going to. Basically, that was accidental. It was certainly
He
not
didn't
on purpose.
play the
Certainly wasn't
ball.
deliberate.
It wasn't
No,
deliberate. That's the point. And
no.
that's the wording that, because I thought, okay, well, it was handball, it was handball. And then you see it, because we got to see a very quick flash of it on the screen, which was kind of interesting. You think, well, hang on, it's just hit his arm. And then they, like I say, they use that very, and I think it is an inflammatory word, and I agree with you, Andy. It's ridiculous that he deliberately did it. No, he didn't. Well, it's either that or he chops his arm off. But it's also what's also clear, and maybe this was always supposed to be the case anyway, is that there is clearly a different handball rule for an attacker than there is for a defender. Because if
We
that was a
saw this in the first
defender,
half.
because if a defender was defending it, well, even that, but if that ball specifically had hit a defender's arm, and then he cleared it, they'd have said, well, hang on, natural body shape, silhouette, and all that cobblers, and it wouldn't have been given. So what's clear is there are two sets of rules, one for defenders and one for attackers. And that's not sort of for any sour grapes. It's just what, I mean, it's been actively proved because it is a lot hard, lot more hard these days. Harder, that's the one. It's a lot harder these days to get a penalty given against you for handball because of the rules now allow for a certain level of mitigation where once upon a time they really didn't. If a ball got whacked against you,
okay.
And that's why, because, you know, if you rewind about 20 years ago, you notice that's when defenders started putting their hands behind their backs just to actually get rid of it. Now they don't have to. So long as their arms are sort of within a sensible position of their body, then in theory, it's going to be considered, you know, unintentional.
Okay. Well,
count for forwards.
Okay. Well, let's rewind this then back to the first half.
The free kick.
And Iari's free kick, brilliant save onto the post. Bounces off the post and like basically Ramsey thought he was playing tennis. It was handball. That was handball.
Well, this is it. I mean, can someone actually? I mean, what's probably evident, if there is a distinct set of rules or a distinct set of protocols about this, then can someone let us know? I mean, yes, we could go to the IFAB rule book, but even then, there are protocols within that that are sort of are subtly nuanced, but we as fans don't know what they are. So here we are, us three debating it. There'll be a lot of people debating it at halftime. They'll be debating it after the game. Why, oh, why, oh, why? And this is where people then start getting the ump with referees. I'm sure that there is a clear set of rules. It's just we're not told what they are. So when the ball comes back, this thing of, like you say, natural silhouette, unnatural position, which I think is... I don't know if that's a media word or if it's something that's a specifically an IFAB. But what's not clear is what is handball and what isn't. What is a foul and what isn't. Let's put it this way. The handball straight after that free kick, after it hit the post, was a lot, lot clearer and a lot more obvious than Mitoma's one.
And a file of that under Scenic Given as well. It's we've had... once handballs given against us, which clearly weren't handballs.
Well, can I go back to the beginning of last season? All right, I'm sure there's been other things, but if you remember, we played Luton, first game of the season last season.
Oh, yeah, the dunk.
We won
4-0.
Dunk is stretching out his leg going one way. The ball gets deflected onto his arms that are behind him, and he's got to put his arms down. It's either that or he's going to crash his head into the ground. And the referee gives it, and then I've seen it in other games, exactly the same scenario, where it's not given. Now, that's not to say, oh, it's not fair, because you do want, so long as a referee is consistent within one game. And let's go back to the first half. We had two, frankly, nailed-on penalties, one for each side, neither of which were given. Well, OK, you've got consistent. He's making two wrongs to be a right here. You know, yeah, OK, the Man City one, the Aston Villa one, Andy, I know you've got a different point on this compared to what I feel.
I thought it was a penalty. I didn't at the time. I've watched it again and I thought that was a penalty. So
I watched it again and didn't think it was a penalty. Inch got there first. He cleaned him out once Ramsey had gone past the ball. But no, I mean, Ramsey was looking for that. I didn't think it was a penalty. It was the one decision they did get right. The foul on Mitoma, I'm just mystified how getting pushed over in the penalty box doesn't get you a penalty anymore.
Well, this is...
There's nothing we can do about this now.
No, but we've got to get cross about it. We do, because we've got to get cross. Now, the thing that literally happened in the second half, Mitoma was going back as a defender. He's got an attacker chasing him down. And with minimal contact, goes flying down. You can see the linesman waves his flag wildly, free kick bright. And you think, hang on, there was even less contact there. Like I say, it's not only a different set of rules of handball rules for attacking the defenders. There's a different set of rules for inside and outside the penalty area. Because it was in exactly the same scenario. There was even less contact on Mitoma for the free kick outside the area that we, you know, defensive free kick. It's like I say, it's the maddening inconsistencies.
Yeah, we were quite mad. We were mad.
We were incensed. Really,
we were incensed. But I mean, they weren't given. We had plenty of other chances to actually do something in this game. I had some issues with the manager, Andy. Now, I think that making four changes at the same time disrupted our rhythm, and that's where we started to fall apart a little bit.
You know what, you did say that, and I didn't really agree with it because I think we'd lost our rhythm prior to that because we were already one down, and Villa were quite well settled, and you know Villa are a very good wait and see side. I mean, you know, first two goals were on the counter, both brilliantly executed counters. Yes, we were. You know, we were asleep a little bit, but I think it is quick thinking from them. But the players were tired. The players that came off, you know, were tired. Again, we've got a game on Saturday that's coming up. It's just unfortunate that I really think, particularly, like, you know, Cashin gets his debut. He's kind of thrown to the lions, almost literally.
Yeah, I was cashing
And
out.
it was a bit of a welcome to the Premier League.
Very
I
much
think the
so.
point, Andy, what I'd say is I think the point AD's making is not necessarily what the substitutes were. I think it's the potential for disruption, the fact that it's actually
Yeah.
four out of the 11 are being substituted in
Well,
one
yeah.
hit, even if you did it two and then 5 minutes later did two more.
Yeah.
But,
I
you
think.
know,
Well, no,
I.
what I was saying was basically when you make a substitution, I mean, then a substitute can come on and have an instant impact. Of course they can, and we see it on a
Actually,
regular basis.
Hertzler's got a bloody good track record on that, you
But
know,
I mean,
lately.
but quite often it will take players a bit of time to get up to the temperature of the game, get up to match speed in that particular battle. When you're making four changes in wood, and that's four players are still not quite up to match speed yet. It can be it, sometimes I don't I it very rarely works when you make that many substitutions at
I
the
can't.
same time.
I would say that if he'd have left those players on, we'd be having another discussion about why didn't he make those substitutions earlier. I mean, the fact is, like Pedro and Gomez had run themselves into the ground. They had nothing left to give. But they've both been excellent, but they've been really hard working. Like a lot of chasing down, like. Fabian's always been going on about intensity this season, and I don't think that's one of our most intense performances that we've had in terms of like chasing down, winning the second balls, really trying to press Villa in their own half.
And we did,
I
and we did.
think,
They made a lot of mistakes at the back when we were pressing them.
yeah, and I think Dunk, you know, 72 minutes for him at this stage might have been a bit much for him. He was kind of like chasing shadows for Rashford Gold. So I'm not really, you know, so I could see why that would happen. Maybe he could have left Hinch on. So maybe three rather than four. But I do think that we actually needed freshening up then, because I think we were running out of energy because we had played at 100 miles an hour thus far. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I
Can
mean,
I
we
also
lost the
point?
game,
Oh.
so the conversations are going to be a bit more on the negative side, which I understand that.
Can I also say that also I feel that Hertzler's changes aren't necessarily always tactical. I mean, they are if they see a player's not having a great game. Like, for instance, I think that Mitoma had a very poor game against Forest. I mean, their right back was brilliant and had him in his pocket and couldn't come out for me, couldn't come off quickly enough. That's not to say I'm criticizing Mitoma. He has a poor game now and again because he has a poor because he's a professional footballer, and that's what happens. But I think that some of them are specific. I mean, the point we're making just now about, you know, sometimes a substitution does work. I mean, the most famous one probably this season is Baleba coming on at half time against Man City at home and completely changing it. That's not to say that Hertzler made a mistake not starting. It's about game management. If a player isn't 90 minutes fit, or if they're only 25 minutes fit, or whatever it is, then he's got to manage their time carefully. Now, there's no way you can't bring Dunk on because you're not going to start Cashin because there's no, you know, there's no one else. You don't start a rookie in a game like that unless you really, really have to. And then we're not that far away from Slater coming in at that rate. one of the under 21s. So it's not necessarily about whether a player's knackered or whether a player's playing well. Sometimes it's just actually about, I'm going to do a like for like, because the system is working well. And like I say, it's for me, it was just, yeah, Villa had other chances, but so did we. They just stuck them away. We didn't. I mean, yes, the
They
first
didn't.
one,
No, that's where you're
horrific.
wrong. That's where you're wrong, Al. They didn't really have that many other chances. But basically, we had all the chances. I mean, the stats were very heavy enough. They had basically three shots on target and scored three goals.
No, they did have a, well, in that case, that stat's a fib, because I know that
I think it was five shots on target,
was
actually.
it,
But
well,
yeah.
yeah, Verbruggen did make a couple of other saves. I do remember that. But yes, I know we kind of bossed the game, but that's no good if you don't stick the ball in the onion bag.
No,
And of course, 3-0
that's the
looks
point of
bad. It looks
football.
like a thumping, and it doesn't work that way. I mean, like I say, the goal, that the first goal was, well, cleverness on Rashford's part, but naivety on our part. And I liken it to, oddly enough, a goal that Welbeck scored up there during lockdown, or, you know, well,
Yeah, I
the
remember.
yeah, I mean, he was 10 yards ahead of their players, but still in our half, and then just raced away. It was horrific defending on their part in that game.
Well, this one was just hesitation between Duncan and Bart, because they were both they both stopped and both started again and then both stopped again. It was like, it
Well,
was
I don't
what?
think. Well, the
It was
thing is,
RTU.
it's
No,
easy.
RTU. Oh, look, he's through on goal.
Yeah, I
It was
know.
just really quick thinking from Martinez and Rodgers.
Yeah.
It was a great ball by Rodgers. Rashford knew about it before our defenders, and he just got ahead. It was a great breakaway
Yeah.
goal.
He
And
scored that goal at the Amex before for United as well, a couple of times.
as
There you
soon as
go.
Rashford's clear, there's only going to be one result. I know people are saying, could Bart have done this? Could Bart have done that? To be honest, Rashford had the freedom of the pitch. He got himself so clear, and
For me,
he's
if
not going
Bart
to get that.
carried on coming out, I think he'd have been risking a red card.
Yeah, true. Very true. Okay, oh, look, before we move on from this, I mean, I don't really want to go too much onto it, really, but
Go on, then.
the Amex emptied massively. I don't think I've ever seen it that empty at the final whistle. I mean, it doesn't send out a very good message to the players. I mean, I know they were only two. They were 2-0 down, 10 minutes added time. I know it's a midweek and people want to get home, rah rah rah. But it's that many people, really.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? It's the perfect storm. We've just conceded the third. It is late. The trains are a mess. I didn't. You probably don't realise this, Andy, but when I left Andy at the station, we'd had one more drink at the terrace, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, my last train home was a bus. So yeah, people are kind of wary of this kind of thing. It's not a good look. And also, there was accusations of, and I didn't hear any from the West
I
Stand
didn't hear
upper
any
of
booing.
booing.
I thought we played well. I thought it was just unfortunate that
By all
we.
means, boo the referee. But even then, I'm not 100% convinced that Atwell was the real villain of the piece, if you excuse the pun. I genuinely think that, yes, Atwell could have stood up to VAR's interference on our goal. But in the great scheme of things, he didn't give them. And you can't give them if you don't see them. It's just VAR, just, let's say, did you, it wasn't Michael Salisbury, was it?
I don't think
No,
it
it
was. They're
wasn't.
not.
It was yeah, but it was Atwell who was the ref at Spurs.
You know, I remember that. I mean, that was, well, this is it. It's a bloke just won't give penalties, not for us. That's one of the points. But,
Yeah.
well, let's talk about something new we do have at the Amex. It's kind of exciting. It's been built. It always looked like a little mini stadium with all the white poles going up over the season, but it's finally open. Gentlemen, what are your first thoughts on the new terrace?
I think it needs a little while to bed in when people get used to using it. But I like it. I love the screens on the outside and it on the inside. They're really good. I thought the band was really good on Saturday night that they had in afterwards, and then Seagull Social did the little thing as did their podcast there as well, which I thought was entertaining. It was a good atmosphere in there. It lacks a certain warmth, I think, at the moment. It doesn't feel lived in just yet, and I think they'll probably have to iron out a few kinks when it comes to serving and stuff, but there's a lot more places to sit down after the game, which I'm very appreciative of. And
What is it when?
IAs,
Because,
if I could get a seat, I'm going to be quite happy.
well,
Yeah, I think as launches go, I think it went well. I was always expecting there to be gremlins and whatnot. It's not a pub. I think the fans need familiarity with it. I think it needs to kind of generate its own atmosphere as a space. But yeah, overall, I think it's okay. I think it's really good. That's just it's another big space.
more money for beer
And
sales.
I think it will encourage people to get there earlier, which makes it easier to get to the game. Didn't have any problems getting away from stadium either time. I mean, I'm lucky. I live in central Brighton, so it's, the travel's quite good for me. I mean, I could even walk it if I wanted, if I could be bothered.
AD, do you think it's going to be a different beast when we have our next game, which is a sit down gasp Saturday 3 o'clock game?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Because there'll be more time.
You've spoken to me about this before. You seem to think so.
Well, there's more time
I
drinking
th I think
afterwards,
there.
isn't there?
Well, I mean, I think that I don't. People are creatures of habit. On the Saturday, I know that the pubs in and around the station for a 5 o'clock kickoff, they were losing money because people wanted to go and see this new shiny thing.
Not off us, they wouldn't.
But it's, at the end of the day, I mean, there is, I mean, I don't, the club doesn't have a responsibility to the city. But, those pubs in and around the station and the surrounds, it's particularly in the climate where more and more pubs are closing, I would prefer that people carry on to go there, really. But,
Well, I think for me, what it is, I mean, there's obviously there because there's now no Dick's Bar. For me, I actually don't think it's necessary. Well, it's certainly not creating a new market. I think it's a substitute for a previous market. And I think Andy's point is that he accidentally made there is it's somewhere to sit down. Now, let's face it, after the game, we're standing up watching in the West Stand up, and we're watching the highlights. We'll then go down to the West Stand lower and go to and all this time we're standing up. Now, admittedly, we've spent the previous hour and a half largely sitting down, but when you're also sort of at the end of the game, you fancy a place to sit down. But I suspect what I mean is the likes of the West Stand upper will close earlier. The West Stand lower might close earlier. I take your point about city centre trade suffering. But as Andy says, it's people coming along to see this nice new shiny thing. And by the time it beds in, we'll get back to that culture of.
Yeah, we'll have a combination of both, and I think that's a good thing. But
There's room. I think there's room for everyone.
I think you're right, particularly after the game with the Leicester game, that people will stay longer.
Assuming we win.
Let's see. Well, we didn't win against Forest, and it was absolutely rammed in
Well,
there.
again,
So
because people are seeing this new shiny thing, aren't they?
yeah,
Once we get
yeah.
used to it, we'll be a bit more blasé about it. I think people will like it with Dick's Bar. Now that's the point, isn't it? There always was a queue for Dick's Bar, so it still took people out. I think the same. Obviously, Dick's Bar is only probably a quarter of the capacity of the terrace. I think the point that we're all trying to make here is that yes, it's wonderful we've got the terrace, and yes, it's got the potential to be something
It's great, and
fantastic. But we don't want the city centre to suffer at the same
no.
time.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I'm at Palace at the weekend, but obviously it's sold out for both the Palace and the Brentford games. For the beanbacks there, so and with those amazing screens, that will probably be quite a thing. So
Well, to be fair, at
we'll see
six
what
quid
happens.
plus a free drink, which is 7 quid, that's not a
Yeah.
bad bit deal, is it?
Okay. Well, just moving on from that, we haven't got much time left. But I mean, I just want to say happy birthday to us, Al. So I've got a little bit of a
Oh, go on then.
quiz. Now, obviously, when the show first aired, we weren't on it.
No, we weren't. No, there was
We weren't on it.
four regular people
So
on
this we
it.
go, but basically, I'm going back to March 2007, specifically back to the 24th of March 2007.
Which is 2 days before Reverb starting.
And it was a, we drew nil-nil with Huddersfield, and this is the game which they were reviewing on that first show.
All
And
right.
can you name the team, any
No.
Okay, so hang on. March 2007, was it here?
It was at with Dean, yeah.
Is it with Dean? Okay, well, let's start. Let's must have been Kuipers in goal.
No, it was not.
Okay, so let's go for Henderson.
No, it was not.
Hang on, this wasn't the season where we had about six goalies, was it? Where we
There
had
was a few.
Shanyo and
Would
Blaney
you
and
like a clue?
yes.
It sounds a little bit like Homer Simpson's next door neighbour.
Oh, Ross Flinders.
Scott, yeah.
Scott Flinders,
Scott
yeah, thank
Flinders.
you.
Scott,
yeah. Yep,
Okay.
that's one. Yep.
Okay, was Watto still with us then?
No, he was not.
Okay, well, it must have been Mayo at left back.
No, Mayo was on the bench.
Oh, I'm doing well here, aren't I? 2007, Butters at the back.
Guy Butters did start that game, yes.
Okay. Alongside Elabd.
Adam Elabd.
Okay. Come back to the fullbacks because it was this the season of just a ridiculous amount of loans.
No, there was no, there was
So hang on,
maybe.
this is our first season back in the
This was
back.
in this was in this was in League One.
Yeah, back in the third division after relegation. So
Yeah.
Harty must have played.
Nope.
Was Chippy
No.
still with us?
No.
Okay, I've got the team up in front of me now. This is
That's
killing me. So,
okay. I'm just miles out here. Are we talking about Baz Savage and Alex Ravel and people
yeah,
like that?
we are
there's
talking
two of
about
them.
exactly those people. Exactly
Okay.
those two.
In that case, Coxie must have played.
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, all right. Okay, I'm zeroing in now. Hang on, this is about the time then that I sponsored a game, give or take.
Nearly.
Go on then, fill us in.
So it was Flinders in goal, Joel Lynch, Adam Elabd, Zesh Raymond, Guy Butters, Alexis Bertin, Dean Cox, Alex Ravel, Jake Robinson, Baz Savage, and the subs, Michelle Kuipers, Kerry Mayo, Doug Loft, Joe Gatting, and Nathan Elder. So that was the year 2006, 2007. Do you know, can you tell me who won the league that season?
I think it would have been Plymouth.
Nope.
Ah, Swansea. It was Swansea, wasn't it?
Nope. It was basically Scunthorpe United won the league,
With Matt Sparrow.
and Bristol City finished second. Also promoted were Blackpool through the playoffs. The other three teams in the playoffs were Nottingham Forest, Yeovil, and Oldham. Do you know where we finished that season? 18th. Nice bit of symmetry.
Yeah, this is the weird thing is that after the relegation, after from the between that and then Gus turning up, for to me it's an absolute blur. It was the irony being is that whilst we had progress off the pitch until such time as Gus turned up, I thought we were turning into a bit, we had a reasonable season under Wilkins and who knows what would have happened, et cetera, but apart from that, during that time, mind
We were
blown.
5,974.
Also, relegated from League One that season were Chesterfield, Bradford, Rotherham, and one other side. Do you know who that side was?
Stockport.
This was a side going into the fourth tier, into the fourth division.
What, for the first time?
No, not for the first time.
Let's say Cardiff.
No, I'll give you a clue. They're in the Premier League now.
Oh, that narrows it down. Brentford.
Brentford finished rock bottom that season.
Good grief.
And the leading scorer in the league was, I'm amazed he's still alive, ladies and
Billy,
gentlemen.
what's
He's
his
still alive.
face?
It was Billy Sharp
For Scunthorpe.
for Scunthorpe. Yeah. Okay, so that's all we've got time for in this therapy session. Thank you for staying with us for that long, and we will be back next week, twice in fact, with a normal show and the Reverbathon special with Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim. But until then, thank you to Alan Wares, thank you to Andy Bass. I've been Ady Packham. This has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, of course, on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks so much for listening. We see you all again then. See ya. Bye.
I'm 18 with a bullet. Got my finger on the trigger. I'm gonna pull it. I'm pick to click now. I'm the son of a gun. So who Soon you'll see.